waited alone until Attorney General Lynch entered through large double doors that led to the West Wing. "Sarah," she walked toward me with her hand outstretched, "it's an honor to meet you." "The honor is all mine, Madam Attorney General." I thanked her for joining our community for the event. And then I thanked her for the speech she had given in the spring when she announced the lawsuit against HB2. "I hope you know how much that meant to our community. It was the first time that many trans people realized that their federal government was on their side. You saved lives that day." She grabbed my hand and looked me directly in the eyes. "This administration may be coming to an end, but we aren't going anywhere," she said. "We'll be fighting right beside you outside of government." And she was right. In all of the talk about what we might lose, the fact remained that most of our progress was irreversible. The hearts we had opened would not close. The minds we had changed would not reverse. The laws we had passed remained on the books. Marriage equality was the law of the land nationwide. And while the Trump administration would likely seek to roll back many of our administrative advancements, they wouldn't succeed on every one. We'd have a new alliance of allies standing shoulder to shoulder with us as we fight back. And we'd need those allies. As much as Pat McCrory's loss sent a message and offered a strategy, it wouldn't stave off continued attacks on the LGBTQ community. In many ways, Donald Trump's election further emboldened hateful elected officials at the state and local levels, just as many of us feared. In 2017, more than 130 anti-LGBTQ bills were introduced in 30 states. That year, Texas was ground zero for anti-equality forces, where the state legislature was considering a dozen discriminatory bills, including a North Carolina-style bathroom bill. In March, I joined hundreds of trans people and our allies in Austin at the state capitol for a citizen lobby day. 2 years before, 40 people had shown up. Now it was hundreds, including an influx of allies. People came from across the massive state of Texas to push their legislators to defeat the discriminatory bills. Scattered throughout the crowd were dozens of transgender kids, whose unashamed pride in themselves was undiminished by the incomprehensible hate they were facing from within that state capitol. These 9, 10, and 11-year-old kids entered the Texas Capitol, one of the largest legislative buildings in the nation, with their heads held high, determined to fight for themselves and others like them. Throughout the LGBTQ movement, young voices have been the drivers of change. Sylvia Rivera was 17 years old when she helped launch the Stonewall Riot. Marsha P. Johnson was 23 at the historic rebellion. Marriage equality is a reality today in large part because of younger generations that have slowly but surely moved their parents and grandparents to side with love and equality. Walking through the intimidating halls of the Texas State Capitol with these trans kids, I thought back to just how overwhelmed I was in our fight for non-discrimination protections in Delaware. I had been twice their age and facing a friendly legislature on a fight for a positive bill. These trans and LGBTQ youth were entering a state capitol that was vehemently and viciously hostile to them personally. Many of the elected officials in that building had made clear their disgust with trans kids in the Texas papers and on talk radio and cable news. But that didn't stop these young people from marching into that building to confront their legislators. It didn't slow their pace. They were on a mission and carried with them a gravity that is unique to young voices. I first began to understand that gravity in Delaware, and had seen it since in states like North Carolina and now in Texas. When young people participate in politics, they can speak from a place of history. I don't mean the history of the past, but rather the history that remains to be written. Young people will be the ones who write the history books of tomorrow. The ones I was standing with in Texas, and all LGBTQ youth and our young allies, will be the ones that get to decide who was right and who was wrong in this moment. As young people, we carry that perspective with us everywhere, from the safest to the scariest spaces in society. That is a powerful tool. And if there is one thing I've learned throughout the last few years, it's that our voices matter. My voice matters. Andy's voice continues to matter. These young trans kids' voices matter. Your voice matters. Our voices matter. People frequently ask me how I remain hopeful in a world too often filled with hate and so often constructed to marginalize. It's simple. I remain hopeful because I know that no matter what obstacles stand in our way, nothing, not even death, can take away our voices and our power. And because of those voices, I've had a front seat to change that once seemed unimaginable. Several months after Donald Trump's inauguration, I met a 12-year-old transgender girl named Stella. Stella absolutely loves history and politics. She was attending an HRC youth-oriented conference that I was speaking at, and when we ran into each other in the hallway, she couldn't contain her excitement. Her mouth was agape, just like mine had been a decade before when I first met people like Joe Biden and Jack Markell. As I had with Lulu, I invited Stella and her mom to come to the HRC office a few days later as my colleagues and I were set to protest outside the White House against the proposed anti-LGBTQ executive order. When I met up with Stella that morning, she was wearing flip-flops, blue jeans, a gray t-shirt with love written on it in cursive, and a small blue and pink button that read, "Trans Rights Now." I walked with Stella and her mom to the same coffee shop where I'd talked with Lulu a few months earlier. We sat across from each other, and I asked Stella what she wanted to be when she got older. Without any doubt, she proudly proclaimed, "The first trans president." As we talked, I learned just how similar we are. Like me at her age, Stella goes to a Montessori school. Like me, she loves history and politics. Like me at her age, her favorite president is FDR. Like me at her age, she loves movies and filmmaking as a hobby. Like me at her age, her childhood dream is to be president of the United States. Like me, she is trans. She was just like me at her age in so many ways but one. She was herself. Sitting there talking with her, I realized that I was looking at a 12-year-old version of myself, just a more authentic, self-actualized one. I was face to face with an alternative past. She was me had I been able to grow up as myself, if science, society, and awareness had moved just a little bit faster to meet a young me in my own journey earlier. I told Stella that I felt like I was sitting with the first transgender president, and invited her to walk with me a few blocks to Lafayette Square in front of the White House, where we were getting ready for the protest. That day was a far cry from 2 years earlier in that same square, when so many of us had celebrated the marriage equality decision. Now, standing there, Stella got on my shoulders. Her mom snapped a picture of the two of us in front of the White House, Stella smiling and laughing, convinced that she was looking at her future home. Too often we hear that politics is the art of the possible. But that belief undersells our power to affect transformational change. Instead, as barrier-breaking leaders throughout history have observed, politics is and must always be the art of making the impossible possible. Standing there with Stella on my shoulders, the change was obvious. In one generation, what had once seemed impossible to me growing up was now very real and possible to Stella. She could be herself and still dream. That progress alone won't save every life. It won't stop discrimination or prevent violence. But the fact that Stella is even a reality today demonstrates how far we've come. She represents a small but important step toward building a world where you can be trans, you can be gay, you can be black, Muslim, an immigrant, a woman, or anything that this society says is mutually exclusive with dreaming big dreams. You can be any or all of those things and still be seen, valued, and respected as an equal. Sometimes it can feel like we're taking two steps forward and one step back. Indeed, in just over a year in office, the Trump administration has rescinded life-saving guidance promoting the protection of transgender students, reinstated a ban on transgender people serving in the military, and in an action that added insult to injury, taken aim at the healthcare non-discrimination rule that Andy had spent so much of his life working toward. They've attacked the rights and dignity of people with disabilities, immigrants, women, Muslims, and people of color. I know that it can feel like we're almost lost as a country, but we must never forget that even with all of the hate and all of the challenges, no matter who is president, we can continue to change our world for the better. We've done it before, and we can do it again. It's the change that's allowed a community that was once ignored and later mocked to now stand on the cusp of our chapter in history. It's the change that's taken a movement from Stonewall to the steps of the Supreme Court and brought marriage equality to every state in the land. It's the change that has allowed more families and friends, co-workers and classmates, to welcome an LGBTQ loved one with broad smiles and open arms. It's the change that Andy had dedicated his life to pushing forward. It's the change that made possible, just 1 year after the disastrous election of Donald Trump, the historic victories of trans candidates running to serve in city halls, on school boards, and finally in one of the nation's oldest state legislatures. And it's the change that allowed me, someone who just 4 years before couldn't bring myself to say the words "I'm transgender" in my mirror, to stand on stage at the Democratic National Convention and declare before the nation that I am a proud transgender American. And we have not come this far to stop now, not with so much work left to do. In too many places, LGBTQ people are still denied the equal protection of the law. Transgender people, and particularly trans women of color, continue to face an epidemic of violence as 2017 became the deadliest year on record for the trans community. From Texas to North Carolina, hateful laws remain on the books. Barriers still exist. Challenges continue. And through it all, the fundamental truth remains that no one in the LGBTQ community is totally equal, until everyone from the gay Muslim refugee to the queer undocumented immigrant to the transgender woman of color is treated with dignity and fairness. We must never be pacified by our progress or content with the pace of change. But we must always remember just how far we've come and hold firm to our vision of a fairer, more just society. Every day matters in this fight. But I remain as hopeful as ever that tomorrow will be different. That someday, generations from now, when our understanding of we the people finally includes everyone, a young trans student or a young queer student will grow up and learn about this struggle for justice and equality in those history books. And they'll never have to know what this progress felt like, because they will never know anything different. That will be because of the courage of the countless LGBTQ people who dared to walk down the street as the person they are or with the one they love. It will be because of advocates and activists who dreamed of a different world. It will be because of allies who stood up and spoke out. It will be because of our generation. We are powerful. We are making history. And together, I know that we are unstoppable. Acknowledgements. Well, that was a book and a process. I'm grateful to my family, friends, and colleagues who helped make writing this book possible. First, I couldn't have done any of this had it not been for the amazing team at Crown Archetype, my kind, thoughtful, patient, and spectacular editor, Jen Schuster, and the stellar, broader editorial team of Trish Butchkowski and John Darga, as well as Kathleen, Tammy, Julie, Catherine, and Maya in the marketing and publicity departments. At a certain point in the writing process, it felt like I was in the middle of the ocean, no land in sight, and unsure of whether I was going in the right direction. But Jen and Trish and John, while Jen was out, were my North Stars. A huge set of thanks to my agent, Katie Zanecchia. I don't know what I would have done had it not been for her careful read of so many drafts from the proposal to the final manuscript and her reassurances during my frequent flare-ups of imposter syndrome. Endless thanks and love to my parents, Sally and Dave McBride, for being the most loving and caring people in the world. Nothing I do in this life would be possible without their love and support. As I say in the book, I lucked out in the parent lottery. A big thanks to Andy's parents, artists Richard, Steve, and Debbie, and the whole Cray Sweeney crew. A huge I love you to my brothers and their significant others, Sean McBride and Blake Marks Landreau, and Dan McBride and Jamie Prater. I'm eternally indebted to my friends who have been by my side through so much, putting up with me interviewing many of them about memories and generously not rolling their eyes when I updated them on the book. Reed Scott, Helen Boyer, Matt Marshall, Harry Berger, Liz Richards, Jalen Brown, Sarah Fulton, Alana Mozick, Tracy Ross, Sarah Barron, Kendall Bills, Wes Garson, Aaron Fitzgerald, Kelsey Pasha, Heather Butt, Jamie Ermack, Kat Skiles, Kayla Jeffers, Bishop Jean Robinson, Joe St. Marie, Erica Zoyce, Chelsea Babcock, Riley Fujisaki, Taylor Yates, Eric Reith, Adam Daniel Wayman, Brett Atanasio, Pollock Gosar, Dr. Laura Durso, Sharita Gruberg, Kellen Baker, Rebecca Fox, Jose Morales, Liz Glazer, Mara Kiesling, Lisa Mote, Lisa Goodman, and Mark Papura. I couldn't have written this thing and kept my job had it not been for my accommodating, tireless, fearless, and effective colleagues at the Human Rights Campaign, in particular Liz Holleran, Jay Brown, Chris Scrow, Chad Griffin, Olivia Allaire Dalton, David Stacey, and Jody Winterhoff. I'll never forget my former colleague at the Center for American Progress, Lauren Vickery, who told me years ago to write a book. I'm so in awe of our former Vice President Joe Biden for his leadership and compassion, and grateful for his willingness to write the foreword to this book. I can't imagine what my 10-year-old self would say if I had been told then that this would happen. I'm still freaking out. Thank you to Gautam Raghavan and Louisa Terrell at the Biden Foundation. Sonia Sloan is an inspiring advocate in Delaware, and she was instrumental in the beginning stages of the foreword. Had it not been for the incomparable Roddy Flynn and the LGBT Equality Caucus, who invited me to speak at the convention, with, of course, the permission of Hillary Clinton and her team, this whole adventure would have never been set into motion. I feel privileged to have been mentored by two amazing leaders, Jack Markell and the late Beau Biden. They took me under their wings, gave unique opportunities to a cringeworthy 17-year-old, and supported me before and after I came out. A quick shout out to the great state of Delaware for being small but mighty and for always feeling like home. Finally, to Andy, my bean, I love you forever and ever. I miss you every day. I think about you always. I perpetually ask myself, what would Andy do? I would give anything to have you back. I hope I've made you proud. This is Sarah McBride. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Tomorrow Will Be Different, Love, Loss, and the Fight for Trans Equality. This program was produced and directed by Aaron Blank. Text copyright 2018 by Sarah McBride. Forward copyright 2018 by the Honorable Joseph R. Biden, Jr. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.